Welcome to Nectar Island. Yeah, I can't believe we're already in March, but yeah, this is the March 2023 edition of Nectar Island. My name's Christian, aka Hannibal. I'm still waiting for my broadcaster partner in crime, Raphael, Rafa, who I'm sure will come in any time. Timekeeping terrible. And yeah, shout out to our godfather, Lionel Shawat, wherever he may be sailing. Well, that sounds like he's dead, but no, I mean, he's somewhere in Lisbon, Portugal, I believe. So yeah, I think what we'll do is, while we're waiting for Rafa to come in. So by the way, the first two songs was the first one was Love Your Grace by Vega Trails, and the second one was Up by, okay, I don't know if this is pronounced correctly, Svaneborg Cardib, a Danish duo. They seem pretty cool, and they're playing a gig in St. Pancras Old Church later this year, which definitely should be a cool one. And yeah, so I'll just continue with, so it's the song Fallout from Yola Tengo's new album, This Stupid World, which is, yeah, a great album. So yeah, Yola Tengo, Fallout.
I don't have what you want from me. I wanna
Hello, hello. Yeah, after this brief Yellow Tango interlude, I'm happy to welcome to the studio Rafa. How's it going?
Hey, hello. Yeah, happy to be here, man. Nectar Island, always good.
Yeah, yeah. Clearly wasn't your priority if you...
No,
it's true. It's true. No, I mean, it's true. We all have... I was early, but anyway.
I was running to get here.
No, that's cool. That's cool. That's cool. So what have you been up to?
Lots. A little bit here, a little bit there. I remember like the last time we met was watching Joint.
Yeah,
the
Joint.
Japanese movie.
That was a good ICA. I don't remember what's Japanese touring film or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I may have got the name of the festival wrong. Yeah. So it was a film called Joint by a debut filmmaker called watch me as I quickly Google. I'm taking you backstage here. He was called Uday Kojima. And yeah, it was a kind of like a, even though it was kind of cast as like a it was kind of pitched as a variant of the Yakuza genre, but it seemed like quite a straightforward Yakuza genre about this guy who gets out of jail but gets kind of keeps getting sucked back into the Yakuza world. And I guess the way I saw that it was kind of original was that they used their very, like, it was quite a low budget film, and so way it was filmed was quite different, right?
I think like it reminded me of like Kings of New York. Do you remember this movie?
Yeah.
So it reminds kind of like, you know, the pace of it, you know. Mm. it's a crime thriller, but it's low burn, right? Like it kind of builds up. It's not kind of like there's no much violence. It's more about the power involved. The power and men involved with power, like gangs or whatever, but there's no, like, you know, it's not an action movie. I think that's kind of like the restraint on the budget makes the guy kind of save a little bit in the action scenes.
Yeah, and also lots of sort of handheld cameras, like, yeah, it was definitely a good one to watch. Have you seen anything else as our resident film buff that was since then?
Yeah, I have been to the BFI to watch the Kurosawa. Screenings. I have seen Dreams.
I don't know that one. Is that one of his lesser known ones?
Yeah, I think it's the last one. Yeah, because it was produced by Martin Scorsese in the 90s. I think it was 92 or 94. And it's amazing. You know, like, I think, like, yeah. And that's the thing. Every time I go to the cinema, I wish I could go more to the cinema. You know, like, at least the first time movie, like, I want to experience the movie in the place where it's supposed to be. Because I think, like, if I have watched Dreams on Netflix or whatever, it's going to lose so much power. You know, I think you should go to the cinema to see this one. And I have also watched Yojimbo. Have you seen Yojimbo? I think is The Bodyguard.
Yeah, okay, no, I have seen that one. Yeah, right. It's got Toshiro Mifune.
Yeah, Toshiro Mifune, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, well, I mean, he's in half of his films anyway, but yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's Kurosawa Mastroianni. You know,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I loved it. I never seen it before, so it was the first time seeing Yojimbo as well. And I wanted to watch Seven Samurai on IMAX, but it sold out, so... Yeah, so that should be good.
So what's Dreams like?
No, Dreams is like, you know, it's actually Dreams. It's kind of like 10 dreams of Kurosawa. So there's no beginning, no end, a short film. So it's like 10 short films with no theme attached, basically. But it's beautiful, and it's kind of the last dream is very good because it. It's kind of like, it appears that it's kind of like Kurosawa saying goodbye, in a sense, because it is a dream of a funeral. And you have it's always the same character, but it's Kurosawa, basically, but it's like he in different stages of life. So Kurosawa is a boy, Kurosawa is a old man, Kurosawa is a... So it's 10 dreams I think it was impossible to make at the time. So I remember like Kurosawa was having very difficulties in making films, just like Fellini, just like Antonioni, just like all these great filmmakers from the 70s. When it came to the 19s,
he was seen as the last generation. Yeah,
has been. And the public the box office was zero, and they didn't have enough prestige by the critics to continue doing the movies.
Because it was like he was seen as a genre director for
samurai. Yeah, and they were excessive, right? Like they were kind of like Fellini movies were always kind of like over budget, over time, you know, it never stopped. So the producers were like, I think basically the producers got, you know, they're cowards right now. You know, they only think about the money. They want cash. And I know this is a business and all, but back then there were producers that wanted the adventure as well. You know, they bet on the guy, say like, this guy's a genius, so I'm going to give him like,
But then a good like art house film could easily make back the investment if it becomes.
Of course, like La Dolce Vita was the biggest box office in Italy for 30 years.
Yeah,
and it was like a 3.5-hour movie about nothing.
It's a weird movie. Yeah. It's weird that like because I always think that like yeah, all these like sort of art house directors were also extremely successful, but then maybe they weren't always at the box office at that time. Yeah.
No, yeah, and I think like the thing is that the generation changed, and so people wouldn't watch them anymore. And I think like so the only way that they could make movies were by Scorsese was one of the ones that pushed towards like Scorsese, Spielberg. They started financing these guys' movies. Like they financed Kurosawa Dreams, and they Scorsese wanted to make the last movie of Fellini, but Fellini died before. So he was trying to bring these guys back again because they were being in the limbo for 10 years, you know, without making a movie, doing commercials for TV. So
you'd think that with streaming services, it gives more people access to watch movies in more places, and therefore the investment is more worthwhile for even obscure films, because there's more ability for people across the world at any time in any place, as long as they've got internet, to watch relatively obscure films outside the mainstream and the mainstream distribution centres, which are the cinemas and kind of.
But then they have to make deals with all the local streaming services.
I think that's up to debate in a sense of like, it's just like you're saying like about music, for instance. Like, do you think like Apple Music or iTunes or whatever, they open a lot of possibilities, but also you don't have any like, you know, groundbreaking bands. Why we don't have like groundbreaking bands like in the 70s, like in the 80s? Yeah. Because these bands were like, I don't know, for instance, I don't know if Nirvana was around today, if it was going to be as groundbreaking as in the 90s, because they had kind of like an industry pushing them up, in a sense.
Well, no, because I was reading an article about how like nowadays everyone in the chart tends to be a solo performer. Mm-hmm. And then I guess it's a lot of people making their own stuff homemade. And then obviously some of the stuff becomes super successful. Whereas, like you said, there's probably not that much initial investment as there used to be.
It's hard to say that people are more like. I can easily say that there are less good movies today than there were.
You would think that with all that access to watching things, but maybe it's too diluted.
Well, because it's funny because it's like there hasn't, because I remember I used to have. Love Film, which was like the British equivalent of like the old Netflix, which was just getting DVDs in the post, and there the library was huge and you could just like, you know, request all the stuff posted to you. And I was like, when it all went to streaming, I'm like, oh cool, there must be a place where I can get like not everything but almost everything. And but like then Netflix was not that, and none of them are that, I guess. It's because no one's going to license everything to them, and also they're all just running for the same audiences.
So yeah, and it gives you an illusion of choice. That's the thing. Like you think you have everything, but you cannot find one Fellini in Netflix.
Well, yeah, and I remember with like Love Film, I was like, wow, and you put a list, and then you get the DVDs through the post, and it was really cool. And I'm like, with stream, I guess maybe some film. Nah, they've all been digitized and stuff, but I guess it must be the economic model.
But
doesn't
it is also like a data market, right? It is an algorithm driven market.
Yeah.
So like Netflix is only going to invest. For instance, that's why I don't know. That's why they're looking for I don't know sports documentaries and blah blah.
But then they do the like maybe 3, 4, 5 prestige films like.
To be in the Oscars.
Like Roma. Yeah, I guess, yeah. And so sometimes you do get a really good film out of it, but sometimes it's just like algorithmically almost, probably not. Like I guess like some places like HBO are still like taking some risks, but then like Amazon, it's all done by Amazon.
There must be a strong market for people who are looking for something different.
Yeah.
I mean, my in-laws, what do they get? There was a streaming service
Mubi.
I can't remember what
it was. There's Criterion, there's Mubi.
Yeah, what's the independent cinema chain that everyone knows in central London?
Curzon.
So there was the Curzon streaming service.
Yeah. Well, when I was a member of Curzon, you could get like 9 films a month or something. But I think there was and BFI is pretty good.
There's a BFI player as well.
Yeah.
And Mubi also, Mubi, to be fair, they also actually produce films, and then they get like debut in like cinemas, and then they go to their platform. Yeah,
I think it's too much, and that's what I'm saying. Like when you have too much, you just go for the easy path. You just go to watch Family Guy or whatever. I don't want to watch like a 50s movie.
But then it's weird because
when the world's a little bit stressful, turn to the great outdoors.
Yeah. But then you think
Tom Candy to wash the world away.
But then, like Simon says, like you think that with such a connected global audience, and there's every subgenre should have like a. Should constitute like a potential audience of millions, but yeah, I guess it's just not the it probably runs counter to the business models or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not what they're pushing you to do, and things are getting like very low brow. They want because it's easy to produce a reality TV and people are going to watch it anyway. So it's just like pop music. It's just like K-pop, you know. They'll just produce another K-pop song or whatever. And then you never try the stuff that's different. You try what's already giving you money. Just like superheroes movies or whatever.
What's wrong with people's values?
IP.
What's wrong with people's values?
I don't know, man. That's why we're here, but Advocate UK is resistance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, it's the underground resistance of radio. Absolutely.
True. Speaking of underground resistance, I think we'll play some music. So I'll play 3 songs curated by our guru, Shawat. And it's I can't even speak today. homage to Trugoy of De La Soul, who passed away. What was it like mid February? So they maybe 2-3 weeks ago. I one thing I never knew was that Trugoy is actually yogurt backwards. So I was like, wow, why is he called Trugoy? It's yogurt backwards. So it's kind of not the most profound name, but kind of cool. Okay, so I'll go and play 3 songs by De La Soul and with some featuring other rappers. All right.
Is posthumous pleasure. Pleasure in preaching starts in the heart. Something that stimulates the music in a measure. Measure in the music breaks in 3 parts. Casually see, but don't do like the soul. Cause seeing and doing are actions for monkeys. Doing hip hop, hustle, no rock and roll. Unless your name's Brewster, cause Brewster's a punky. Parents let go, cause it's magic in the air. Criticizing rap shows you're out of order. Stop looking, listen to the phrasing Fred Astaire's. And don't get offended while Mace Do-Si-Do's your daughter. A dry camera roll system is now set. Fly around the store under Daisy Productions. It stands for the inner sound your than your Quebec, that the action's not a trick, but show them the function. Everybody wants to be a DJ, everybody wants to be an MC, but being speakers are the best, and you don't have to guess. De La Soul Posse consists of three, and that's the magic number. This here piece of the pie is not dessert, but the cost that we dine. And three out of every darn time, the effect is when a daisy grows in your mind. Showing true position, this here piece is kissing the part of the pie that's missing, where that negative number fills up the casualty. Maybe you can subtract it, you can call it your lucky partner, maybe you can call it your adjective. But odd as it may be, without my one and two, where would there be? My three makes possum me, and that's the magic number.
What does it all mean?
Focus is formed by flaunt of the soul. Souls who fall style gain praises by pounds. Common on speakers who honor the scroll. Scroll written daily creates a new sound. Listeners listen, cause this here is wisdom. Wisdom of a speaker, a dove and a plug. Set aside a legal substance, you feed them for now. Get them high off this dialect drug. Time is a factor, so it's time to count. Count not the negative actions of one. Speakers of soul say it's time to shout. Three forms the soul to a positive sum. Dance to this fix and flex every muscle. Space can be filled if you ride like my lumber. Advance to the tune, but don't do the hustle. Shake, rattle, roll to my magic number.
Now you may try to subtract it, but it just won't go away. Three times one.
What is it?
One, two, three.
That's a magic number.
Yo, what's up?
One, two, three.
Hey, children. What does it all mean?
Funny face like a chick. When I see you, I'ma tell you quick that
it ain't all good. That's the truth. Things ain't going like things should.
I can't believe we built this large pizza pie together. No pepperoni. Yeah, you wanted extra cheese. Sometimes I gave you extras. How we divided slices was like the Red Sea theory. I was Moses, hopelessly scorned by your thorns, Zipporah. Tried to bring that fairy tale life. You wanted horror, but my microscope couldn't see a cope with that. I had to bolt from that and left it dead in the sea. It's better for me. I'm satisfied with repping for thee.
We were certified hot, then dropped the lukewarm. Now we back up in the spot, claiming never been gone. Niggas who cut us off wanna reattach us now.
Some girls who brush us off say they want some numbers to die.
Yeah, I get that ass a number and some lumber to pound and catch a curve from my kid.
Don't show me love if I break.
So stick to the same plan. Don't come shaking my hand like we peeps. It ain't deep, but be sure to understand. Between us, it ain't
all good. That's the truth. Things ain't going like things should. It's all on you. It ain't all good. That's the truth. Things ain't going like things should. It's all on you.
You see, them kids be scheming on what we done cop.
Always have to scheme.
Instead of feeling for the moment, they can get us off the block.
What I always see.
Your people might have your back, but you need to watch the front. Indeed, it ain't guaranteed.
That's the truth. Things gonna
them up tight, then you might feel what was dealt to me. You see, ain't no young boys up in here. Keep a clear head, trying to keep my pockets all stuffed like deer heads upon the wall. So all the gold we get from y'all don't phase. So mind your biz and walk your ways, cause I'm never gonna let you up inside my maze.
I don't care about what you think you say.
Myself, place it all on my shoulders and give it my all like heavy lifting. No gain without tears and sweat to claim blue skies with white clouds steady drifting. When pain come to get you and hit you like flow, better times will pick you. Do what you gotta do to earn focus in the stormy weather. Come out the tunnel to the light, saying.
up. The bigger the headache, bigger the pill. The harder you fall, stronger the will. We came from the back of the bus, talking watch the mobile. Now we own a house on the hill. Struggle went from filling your gas tank. The bank wasn't filling your loan. The OT couldn't cover the bills. So life came with a couple of spills. But we gon' use that pain for fuel, so
give me no excuses.
Everything.
Hello, hello. That was so that was The Magic Number, All Good and Pain by De La Soul. So yeah, rest in peace, Trugoy. We could still stick to talk a bit about things we've seen recently in the last month. You were saying a documentary about Cambridge Analytica.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, we're talking about offline. How do they say that? Off screen,
off mic.
Yeah, you were swearing quite a lot.
So yeah, I have seen a documentary about Cambridge Analytica. It's on Netflix. I think it's not this one. I don't remember the name of it. It's something about numbers or algorithms or something like that.
Okay.
So I was talking about it because I have seen this one and it's pretty scary. And I think like how the algorithms are kind of like managing our, not life, but are kind of like they're building our tastes as well. And they are targeting people in a way that we don't even imagine. And I think like the same goes to every industry decision. We're talking about cinema, we're talking about like new films and what's on Netflix, what's on streaming platforms. And they have kind of like this database where they draw conclusions out of it. And I have been using as well like the ChatGPT. Have you used it?
Yeah, no, I've been play, well, I've mostly actually been using it's called DALL-E, like DALL-E.
Oh yeah, it's good.
So because I was the company I work for, we're publishing a book about AI, and then we thought it'd be quite funny if the cover we did was generated by AI. So we played with DALL-E, and some of the stuff was super weird, and like it's really hard to get to do something cool. And then you get like 50 credits a month or something just to play around. And yeah, it is, I mean, it's funny because it's still reassuringly a bit crap, but also a bit scary, but like because it's presumably going to become better.
You know, I do listen to a podcast called Wired Gadget Lab, where they discuss kind of like innovations in the technology and all. And there was one last week where one of the guys from this AI background, he went to the show and said like the ChatGPT is just like smoke and mirrors. There's nothing intelligent about it. It's just like magic trick. Mm-hmm. And I did realize that afterwards, like, because actually if you ask a question for ChatGPT, if you ask like a structured question, like, oh, write me a cover letter for something, it does its job very well. But if you do research to it, he invents stuff.
Yeah. So, a friend of mine was using it just to, I think, out of boredom because he was on half term. And he was saying like he would, he was saying like, yeah, give me some. I think he was typing in the names of his colleagues to see if like, yeah, could you give me a biography of this to see what they knew, and then they'd invent weird stuff, and mm-hmm. then he would tell ChatGPT, oh no, what you said is this is false, blah blah blah, and then apparently ChatGPT would get really defensive, like, yeah, no, but like, it's meant to be like this. So it's kind of weird that like even like ChatGPT could just be like, this was, you know, this was a mistake, whatever, but like the fact that it gets defensive, so it's kind of like machine learning how to become like a bullshitter.
Yeah, give excuses. It is like a master bullshitter. That's what it is. It's kind of, they don't. Yeah. This is what. Yeah. So they do. It doesn't know anything. It's not learning anything. It's just like pretending they know. And the strange thing is that people are getting to Harvard with like essays written by ChatGPT.
But then I thought that I thought there was something in it where they insert a little pattern, which then people can see if it's written by ChatGPT.
But then you can trick it. You can kind of say like the first answer, you would just say like, oh, do it again in different manner, or do it again friendlier, or do it. So if you put layers on top of it, it's kind of like impossible to detect that it's not you. And actually, like, you can write a text, put it in ChatGPT, and then say like, write it again differently, and then it writes again, and then corrects all your mistakes, and the structure gets better. You know, it's kind of like get a review. But it was what we were talking about. Like, people are getting lazier and lazier, and that's kind of like I think you need to suffer a little bit, you know. What I mean, like, you need to go to the cinema and stay 3 hours in the dark watching the movie and to fully enjoy it, and you need to kind of like do proper research and not go to ChatGPT and ask a question and then kind of like.
Are we beyond nature correcting itself when it comes to things like this? Because nature has a habit of correcting itself. It just does, you know. But are we so now in control of that area that is there going to be some kind, you know, will the globe just melt down at some point because there'll be so many stupid people in positions of power because they've managed to get themselves to that position of power? Will we all end up killing ourselves or killing each other?
There is already, they're always being stupid people. I think that's kind of like, we know that more now because we have like access to information and we have like, you know, but I think, what I think is that there's a movie called Idiocracy that's kind of like, it's a comedy film from that, I don't know, 90 something. And it's not very funny, but it's very kind of like the theme is that like stupid people have more children than intelligent people. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a way, a time where everybody's going to be dumb, basically. Like,
that's by... By the guy who did Office Space, right?
Yeah, Mike Judge.
I haven't seen Idiocracy.
so that's kind of like this is the theory. But what I think is going to happen, like, and I think it's going to happen pretty soon, is that like we are in the borderline of going to AI full on, like, you know, glasses and being to different worlds and metaverse. So I think there's going to be people that are going to reject that, you know. There's gonna be the offliners, in a sense. You know, I'm gonna be one of them.
Yeah, me too.
I don't care about that. Yeah. You know, and there are gonna be people that's gonna be living their lives.
I'm literally gonna be pooping in a bucket somewhere in the middle of like, mountains,
probably.
And hunting frogs.
The new Luddites. Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, that's cheerful note. but anyway, you've got a song that you wanted to introduce.
Oh yeah. It's always good, man. This is kind of like Metamorfose Ambulante by Raul Seixas. This is a classic, Brazilian classic, and that's the kind of like the message of the song is that I prefer to be kind of like this metamorphosis that walks around than to have the same opinion about everything. So it's kind of like it's our Brazilian Bob Dylan.
Okay, he'll be replaced by AI soon, but let's enjoy him.
He's dead already, so
let's. All right, okay, let's enjoy him while we can. All right.
essa metamorfose ambulante. Eu prefiro ser essa metamorfose ambulante do que ter aquela velha opinião formada sobre tudo. Do que ter aquela velha opinião formada sobre tudo. Eu quero dizer agora o oposto do que eu disse antes. Eu prefiro ser essa metamorfose ambulante do que ter aquela velha opinião formada sobre tudo. Do que ter aquela velha opinião formada sobre tudo. Sobre o que é o amor, sobre que eu nem sei quem sou. Se hoje eu sou estrela, amanhã já se apagou. Chegar a um objetivo num instante. Eu quero viver nessa metamorfose ambulante do que ter aquela velha opinião formada sobre tudo. Do que ter aquela velha opinião formada sobre tudo. Sobre o que é o amor, sobre que se hoje eu sou estrela, amanhã já se apagou. Se hoje eu te odeio, amanhã lhe tenho amor. Lhe tenho amor, lhe tenho horror, lhe faço amor. Eu sou um ator. Podes dizer aquilo tudo que eu lhe disse antes. Eu prefiro ser essa metamorfose ambulante que ter aquela velha opinião formada sobre tudo. Do que ter aquela velha opinião formada sobre tudo. Do que ter aquela velha opinião formada sobre tudo. Do que ter aquela velha, 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 velha opinião formada sobre tudo. Do que ter aquela velha opinião formada sobre tudo. É do que até aquela.
Hello, welcome back to Nectar Island. Yeah, wow, time flies. It's almost the end of the show. You just tell me a bit more about this song. So what's he talking about?
He's talking about not having the same opinion always, not holding the opinion forever. So I like to change my mind every time. Okay. You know, like you are always changing. That's the thing.
I don't know. Raul Seixas. So what's his deal? Is he like? Was he like a?
He's the most
singer songwriter.
Yeah. He was one of the most famous rock and roll Brazilian rock writer. So he said like he used like a fusion of rock and Brazilian music, like forró, he's from the Northeast, so he used like
tropical bit, yeah.
Yeah, so he was like a lot of Brazilian folk with American folk rock, for instance.
So that's
kind of like the mix, and he's considered kind of like the father of Brazilian rock and roll.
Yeah. Okay, excellent. So Raul Seixas,
Metamorfose ambulante.
I'm not even going to attempt the thing. So yeah, is there anything else you're looking forward to seeing or watching or plugging?
I'm going to see the Tarantino talk in the end of the month. So that's I'm looking forward
to. What's he talking about?
He's releasing his book called Cinema Speculation, I think. And the book is really good. The book is kind of like have like a lot of... It's about films that he watched when he was a kid. And he grew up watching like the good 70s. I am in the chapter where he's talking about Taxi Driver. And it's good because he goes very deep into it. So like Taxi Driver was supposed to be... directed not by Scorsese, but by, what's the name of the guy? I forgot the name. Black Dahlia, the guy that did...
let me Google it live.
Okay.
Like you were saying, we're all being dumbed down.
He did a lot of stuff. Blow Up.
God, I know Blow Up. Italian name. Antonioni, yeah.
No, Antonioni, no. Antonioni did blow up, yeah. But the guy that did...
Okay, our listeners are going to have to Google.
Yeah. Google it.
Better than me.
But like, so he's releasing his book. And I also like watching a lot of movies from the 70s because I haven't seen a lot of American cinema in the 70s, really. Deliverance, I haven't watched before. That's great. Have seen it. Sisters... You know, I don't know the name of the director, but I have watched it as well. So
that's the cool stuff, like Parallax View. It's the Conversation. Is that 70s?
Conversation. Yeah.
So it's all these kind of weird paranoid stuff.
Yeah. Really good cinema back then. Not unlike today, man.
I think we're just becoming old men.
I think so. Yeah, I'm nostalgic about it. I was not even alive, I'm nostalgic about it.
Yeah, I guess you know. Well, one thing that is still going to be fresh is Hillhead to Harlesden. Apparently, the theme is dirty. So
dirty.
You'll hopefully be titillated by the dirty sounds.
Kids out of the room, right?
Yeah, no, it's not rated 18. Okay.
Let's be
really clear. So
I guess community radio. we'll leave you for this month, Nectar Island. See you in April. Fucking hell, this year's going fast. We'll leave you with what they call us by Fever A.
Okay.